Listening to the Cannabis Hangout, two girls, one bowl, and a podcast that is breaking the stigma of marijuana. My name is Brannon.
And my name is Saba. We will be connecting with a community of cannabis enthusiasts by educating people,
sharing stories from medical marijuana patients,
and interviewing industry leaders while debunking cannabis myths.
So we invite you to come roll with us
while we break it all down.
Hi guys, welcome back to another episode. I'm Brannon.
And I'm Saba.
And we are your hosts of the Cannabis Hangout. On today's episode, we get to speak with a local Oklahoma company that has been in the game since cannabis has been legalized here. Their robot designs are how they originally caught my eye, and they have created quite a name for themselves in our home state with some really awesome flowers. So guys, let's go ahead and welcome Josh from Robot Farmer to the Cannabis Hangout.
Hey Josh.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
We're so happy to have you here. So let's just dive right in. Tell us where your cannabis journey first began, the first time you smoked. Take us back.
Well, the first time I smoked, I was about 13.
Okay.
My older brother smoked me out.
It's always the older siblings. When people say like the age 13, yeah. It's always because people had older siblings.
That's how it got started, yeah. For sure. That was in Texas, and then I had moved to North Carolina. And out there in Charlotte, I was probably like in my teens. They had a little bit better herb out there. And that's when I first got introduced to like some hydroponics.
Okay.
Kind is what they called it on the East Coast and stuff like that. And and then started smoking from there and just haven't stopped I've stopped momentarily a little bit in my life.
Yeah.
But it started when I was 13.
Yeah. Been pretty continuous ever since.
Yeah. What point did you find that it turned in from like smoking weed to like consuming a medicine?
Ooh.
What was your turning point?
Sure. Probably when I moved up to Seattle. I graduated school in Texas and then went to the West Coast.
Okay.
And
very different.
Oh, totally different. Total change of venue for me.
Yeah,
it's a different part of the world. It's one of the most beautiful places I've lived in the U.S.
Okay.
But just totally different vibes up there from what you get in the South.
Mm-hmm. Seattle's
very different.
Yes, I loved it. It was like gloomy but green. Yeah, I went during the wintertime and I was like, wow, it's so gloomy, but it's still so green. Like, Ireland is the closest thing that I can compare it to.
Okay, yeah.
It's like in the greenery and how beautiful it is and lush and just
super
like
lush.
Dark and gloomy.
I do miss a little bit of that. When I got up there, you know, they haven't had their medical market going for maybe 10 years by then.
That would have been
2012. I mean, they had medical for a long time in Seattle. So it's not they were already burned out on it, but they've just been doing it for so long. Yeah. You know? So
that's crazy. They're so ahead of other places.
Yeah.
Like that big of a...
For sure. And I think Oregon even longer at that point. But and then they already had established companies there. And, you know, they had medical markets at that time. And you could, you know, kind of pull up and buy your wares at these places.
Yeah.
And you could really see the passion these people had for that instead of just like kind of guerrilla growing,
blind
market style. Mm-hmm. These dudes were really into it and like for a reason.
So I love that.
I'd say that transition to Seattle is when I first noticed like the whole medicinal benefit. And then at that time, University of Washington had one of the first testing machines and they were pulling a little bit of terpenes out of it, you know? So you were limited to what you were knowing, but there was like the main four or five. And,
that's so cool. Yeah. Wow. Huh. So you were around when like testing first started to become a thing.
Yeah, they were one of the first ones in the state. I think you had to go to the university and get that tested at
one
point.
That's crazy.
Washington, yeah.
Wow, that's so interesting to see where we were then and like the advancements to now.
So being involved in like the flower side of the industry, what kind of consumer are you? Like throughout your day, strictly joints? Do you dab into like edibles or concentrates?
No, I guess I'll answer that backwards. The concentrates I do like. I like some rosin. I like a really good BHO we produce from our farm. We haven't made as much rosin as we should. We have all the setups and everything to do it. We just haven't really done, you know, full jumped into that.
You guys would kill it.
Yeah. We've made a little bit, done some drops, but it's not something we divided devote a lot of time to. Our edibles take up so much of our product and stuff like that in the greenhouses. I do like edibles. Our shout out to Chef Brandon. He came on the team last year during the pandemic.
Okay.
He sent us email and was like, hey, man, I really love cannabis. I want to be involved in this industry. He's an award-winning chef. And he was like, I'll do whatever I have to do. I really love Robot Farmer. I want to work with you guys.
That's amazing.
And we're what like, a great collab.
Like, try to make something, you know? Like,
yeah.
And he came back with just some heat. And he's been just a great asset to our company ever since then. So, yeah, Yeah, his edibles are super strong. I've never been an edible guy, but I'll eat a 10 or a 15 every once in a while. You know, he's making to test something, you know, test a new product. But yeah, edibles put me down, you know. Yeah. And that goes back to flowers. It's my wheelhouse. So usually I'll roll a blunt in the morning or a high hemp, whatever, sweet. And then I read most of the international news. I'll try to scan like 4, 5, 6 different websites.
Okay.
And read the news. That's kind of my background in international relations and stuff.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. That's cool. Wow. Interesting.
So, wow, 4 to 6 different websites in the morning. Okay.
Try to check out, you know, what's going on around the world. And just not, you know, read a couple of headlines here and there. And then we'll head into work. And yeah, probably smoke maybe after lunch and then once at night. So 2 or 3 times a day.
Yeah.
Usually.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. So this being said, what were you said your job had to do with international stuff before. What were you doing before you hopped in the cannabis industry?
Well,
if you want to share, that is.
I wanted to work with State Department and stuff like that, international relations. So I went to school, studied international relations, political science, and then studied abroad in South Korea for a little bit.
Wow.
And at that time, I was trying to specialize in like Northeast Asian affairs, so that'd be China, Japan, and Korea would be my specialty. And then so that just kind of fell through. Actually, I came back from studying in Korea, and one of my best friends was growing in Texas at a pretty decent level, and kind of showed me his operation, and I was like, damn, I can do this. That's kind of that growing started from there.
That's
dope. It's crazy, and I feel like Brandon and I say this pretty often, that whenever we have people on this podcast, it feels like that they've lived so many lives. Like, you're so young, but I feel like you've lived so many lives already. Like, that is so crazy.
I really wanted to live abroad, and that was kind of my goal. And then you know, at that time, it was a while back, like 2008, 2009, the Chinese Olympics were going on. It was in Beijing. The Olympics going on in Beijing, rather. And I couldn't get a visa over there. It was too difficult for American to go. So I went to Korea instead, and that's kind of learned Korean language. I had learned Chinese before. That's why I learned Mandarin. So that's why I was wanting to go to China.
Are you fluent?
I used to be pretty good.
Wow.
But not anymore. You don't have a chance to use it or practice it. You really lose it. Quick. And then Korean, I learned Korean on top of that, and it really compounded that, made it a little bit difficult.
Wow, that's so interesting. I feel like that gives you a perspective of culture.
Yeah.
Obviously culture, but like even into like other things you do and like now growing, I feel like maybe there's something you took away from there that you've implemented into your grow, just like culturally, you know, because things are so different. It's cool that.
Yeah.
That you
definitely.
Went through that.
One thing you learn over there is patience. So that's when you have to apply to the grow as well.
For sure.
Know, definitely strategic patience.
Yeah.
So we all have things we enjoy to do whenever we smoke. What's yours?
That's a good question. So right now I've been researching a lot about like NFTs and this metaverse stuff. So I've been roll up like 2 or 3 blunts in a session. My partner Isaac and I at the farm. So I have 4 partners, a robot farmer. And I created the brand. The other guys have like phenomenal skill sets, which is why we're such a great team. Like one can build anything and wire anything up. You know, he's amazing. The other one's a great deep thinker and can like really close deals and put things together. And then Jeff, who we're located in Tulsa with me and up here, he's the business guy. He handles all the business.
Man, everyone brings something to the table.
Exactly.
I love that. Full circle energy, baby.
So going back to that, we've been really like talking about this NFT thing, and like some of us understand it a little bit more than others, and some are trying to get on board. So we've been rolling a couple of blunts at night. I've tried to research like 2 or 3 hours a night and kind of learn as much as I can about it. And there's so much to it.
There really is.
There's rabbit holes that you jump in with that I get that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of my things, I love to travel places when I can. I don't really have much time nowadays, but like in you know, smoke like scenic spots and stuff like that. That was more easy to do in Seattle than it is. Just with the beaches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
I can only imagine.
I bet you miss that.
I do. Miss that.
Heck yeah.
I don't miss the people so much, but I do miss the
Nature.
Nature is amazing, you know.
Yeah. So what's it like with your family and the industry that you're in? Have they been pretty open to what you do?
Just recently, actually.
Okay, tell us about that.
Yeah, so growing up, my father worked in defense and had to do a lot of secret stuff or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And wasn't in the military, but worked with them. And I just had to be kind of straight-laced. I couldn't really do anything too crazy that could mess him up potentially. And,
Look bad on him.
While getting a clearance or something like that. Right. You know? So they definitely weren't with it while I was in high school and up until, you know, when I was in Seattle, I was growing a little bit and, you know, maybe, they weren't too well with it until just recently, you know, my dad started almost retired and he's wanted to try some of the gummies and stuff like that.
Couple
shoulder surgeries.
It's always the gummies.
It's a surgery or it's a something, you know, a pain in the hip or the knee. Yep. And it's like, well, try one of these 10 milligrams. Mm-hmm. You know, they're made of live resin. It's going to be an onset in like 10, 15 minutes and it'll hit you. So.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Just lately, they've came around to that.
That's so cool. And I'm sure that's opened their minds to, like, okay, cool, like, this is medicine. Like, I don't have to think of this as what I thought it was versus what it actually is, which is just a plant that's growing from the ground.
Yeah.
That's true.
So tell us a little bit about what kind of flower and product that you guys provide the state of Oklahoma with.
Sure. So Garrett is our farm manager. He's over all of the grow. He's an amazing guy from Oregon. He's been friends with my partners in Austin for a long time, so it's kind of all family. He loves pheno hunting as much as I do as well. We love buying seeds. Now we've kind of transitioned to clones, just kind of commercial, getting our stuff like kind of on point in as far as doing numbers, you know, instead of having a pheno hunt and find things and taking 8, 9, 10 months. But yeah, I love the fruits. He likes the gas. So like if I find something super fruity, like we've been pheno hunting this OMFG, which is, let's see, Runcen Red Pop. It's a super strawberry pheno, really, really heavy strawberry where I think it's something valuable. I'll send that to the farm, you know, and we'll set that to moms and put it in motion. So it's, you know, a pheno hunt takes pop a seed to the time it's like available to the patient, maybe 10 months, you know, with testing and growing it up and doing a room of it and everything. But we've grown some, let's see what's coming up. Strawberry guava cushments from Bloom Seeds is pretty nice. Now Garrett's on this compound apples and bananas right now. The gastro pop, which is what, grape gasoline. And I cannot remember. I want to say mochi gelato. I could be wrong though, but some of the grape gasoline line from compounds. So a lot of that's coming. Some motor breath we just harvested. Obviously some runs, a little hype strains in there.
Yeah.
We got to have some hype strains. Because, I mean, with the living soil, like, they hit. They really taste good. You can feel the terps. You can taste the terps, you know, and that's one of our main things for robot farmers. Like, we're all about terps. Pure percentages are nice, and I personally don't smoke high THC stuff. Unless I get tricked. But, no, like, I'm 16 to 20 all day because I want to function and do some more stuff. So, but really, terpenes is all. If it's, like, loud terps, I'm going to go with that.
Setting up a new company can be difficult and confusing, but establishing a strong foundation with appropriate and necessary documents can help protect you in the long run.
Yes, and with being business owners ourselves, we understand what it's like pretty well, I think.
With BIC Legal, they practice in areas like family law, estate planning, business litigation, and review and draft contracts for your company, while assisting in licensing applications, and so much more.
And with the Oklahoma cannabis industry thriving, the rules and regulations related to cannabis are quite strict. Jade Pebworth with BIC Legal, she really enjoys working with companies from the ground up. So if you're looking for good legal help in Oklahoma, she's your girl. Let's get back to today's episode.
Man, say it louder for the people. Yeah,
I will say, and every time Robot Farmer is discussed, I remember you guys did a purple punch, like, I want to say a year and a half ago, and one of our friends left it for us to try. And that was, to this day, the best purple punch that I've ever had. And that was also my first introduction into low THC, higher terps.
Sure.
And how more effective and higher and longer of a high that was. Mm-hmm. So kudos to you guys. A year and a half it's been, and I still remember that purple punch. It was amazing.
Yeah, and that cuts nice. It's a purple punch 2.0. It's from Symbiotic Genetics. It's a really nice strain. It's a lot of people can say purple punch is like the old blue dream, or it's played out. And I get it. There's a lot of it that went around for a long time, but it's a consistent strain. I mean, it grows, the nose is the same all the time. You know, it harvests well, so there's definitely a lot of high points to that strain, even though it's been
that's
growing.
So cool that like it stood out to you, Saul.
Because that doesn't
always happen.
I remember it was like 16, it was either 0.28 or 0.58. Like, I very distinctly remember it, and I was like, what, this isn't gonna get me high, but like, I'm gonna give it a try. But then that changed my perspective completely, and I was like, oh shit, this is like, I'm so high. And I remember having to put half of it out because I was so high.
Right.
I had to like chill on it for a second.
I was smoking some motor breath the other day that we just harvested a new strain. I believe we got that one from Jubel Exotic. So shout out to Jubel. But that one, my dog even came up to me and was like, what is that? I was like, what are you smoking? It was super loud.
That's
super
amazing. I love that. So how long have you been on your growing journey, and what initially inspired you to want to like dive full into this industry?
Sure. That's a great question. I first started growing in Texas. That would have been probably mid-2000s. Let's see. Probably around 2006, 2007, I believe. And I started with one light, And this is to anyone out there listening, whoever wants to get in this or wants to grow. I started with one 600 watt light and Robot Farmer, and not by myself. You have to have a team that can do it. We're at like 240 right now. Wow. You know, and we started with 40 in Oklahoma. But just to say, like, you can do it if you have the right team with you and the right, you know, skill sets, the right business plan, mm-hmm. and enough heart, then like you can really make something if you want to do it. But as far as me, when I first started growing, yeah, one light, and then I went to four, and then I went to 12, and then it just kind of catapulted and kind of snowballed down from there. And then, yeah, I was up to probably 12 or 20 in Seattle.
Wow. Okay. That's amazing. That's a huge jump in lies. That's awesome.
Just kept growing because of your passion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got here in Oklahoma, and you know, I could maintain. I lived on the farm for about 9 months out there. It's in Broken Bow, and one of our partners, he's from Broken Bow, so he had the land and the infrastructure, and mm-hmm. like I said, some equipment as well. And then it got to a point where like, let's scale up, let's expand. You know, let's really like, we've got a brand that we can mm-hmm. can do this with. And then we brought in Garrett from and then Ty from Oregon, and they've kind of taken over from there. Like, they can do really big grows, and
that's phenomenal.
Surpass my skill set.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's cool that you've built such a dope team, and I love when people that are thriving because they have a perfect ecosystem of a mm-hmm. team, and I feel like people forget the importance of that.
Yeah, and you're gonna clash. We all my partners.
Yes,
we didn't know. I knew one of them, and then the other two knew the other two, right?
Yeah,
and or the other one knew the other two, but there was some hurdles, but it wasn't anything we couldn't work past.
Exactly.
It's not like they believed in my dream. Like, oh, we can. No, like, they all had their own dream. They mm-hmm. had their own businesses. They were doing their thing, you know?
Yeah.
And like, okay, we're going to commit to this Oklahoma thing.
So yeah. Like, and like, how can you get past the hurdles as a team, you know? Yeah. And I feel like oftentimes that gets lost in translation because people do get in this industry to get rich quick. And mm-hmm. that does happen. And they have this idea of what they think what a team is. And then really it's not that. So it's cool that you have... That's like the first thing that you said. I admire that. That's very dope.
Do you have a specific train that people love and keep coming back for?
You mentioned the Purple Punch. That's a pretty popular one. Our Runts has been really taken off right now. It's a breeder cut we got from them on the West Coast. And that's a really nice one. The Trap Cookies has been a standout. Let's see. What else have we done that's been super? I've had a lot of reception stuff. The mimosas we just dropped are pretty good. I'm trying to think the biggest one over like 2 or 3 years. I'm trying to dig deep in that one.
Yeah, it really stood out.
Man, we did, when we first started, we did some Wonka bars, and it was a GMO and mint chocolate chip from Exotic Genetics.
Yum.
I think Broken Bow only got that one down there in our dispensary, dispensary. And it would like overwhelm these patients because they were like just used to getting, you know, some outdoors, some okay weed, some weed in Cali or whatever. Right. And they finally get some real indoor like in their lives and, you know,
rock
down the
their
street.
World.
And it really, you know, blew them away.
That's amazing.
There you go. That's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. So what's been the biggest lesson so far that you've taken away from this experience?
Oh, great question. You cannot do – if you want to do something big, you can't do it by yourself. You've got to take in a team and trust people and, like, bring them up with you. You know, that's probably what I've learned. And not so much mistakes, but, like, you could do things differently over these 3 years, you know. There'd be a couple things, but – for the most part, the biggest thing I took away is like really humbling yourself and being able to accept help and like take guidance. And if someone can do something better than you, listen to them, you know, if they make sense and, you know, don't have preconceived notions of like this is how this is going to go. Because this industry is so fluid and it can change within a couple of days, you know, the direction of things.
Yes.
Something just to be aware of and stay on top of. And I think because there's so few of us in our company, as far as like there's only, you know, a handful of owners and we do have several employees, but we can move really fast. It's like a corporate structure, you know, where it's like bulky and you know, to change.
So. Yeah, that's nice though. Mm-hmm. So we know picking favorites and cannabis can be like trying to pick your favorite child, but what would you say, like what strain out of everything that you guys have grown that you have personally loved? And that's like a staple for you.
One of the hottest strains, let's see, we grew some waffle cone that was pretty fire. Okay. That was Dosi Lotto and Jet Fuel Gelato from Compound.
Okay.
Made into some of our roaches and stuff like that. That one hit really well. Garrett has been, he grew some of the first time we had the runs. I mean, it really knocked me out. You know, that was really nice. Let's see, I'm trying to think what some of the best stuff that he's came with. Dig deep. We've grown some stuff called Supreme from Nerds Genetics.
Yeah.
It's super amazing. We've done a few harvests of that. We've got a whole greenhouse of our own strain we just made. We did a seed collab with Nerds Genetics. So we have a Tony Snow, which is a sour strawberry in GG4, and we crossed it to about 8 or 10 of our strains at the farm.
Wow, that's cool.
We're working on that. That's coming out within a few months.
So.
That's awesome. That's exciting. Yeah. Things to look forward to.
Yeah.
So what's been the most difficult strain with that you've had to grow to this day?
Sure. Let's see. We've thrown so many strains out. Some just don't produce. They look great. They smell great, but they just don't want to, you know, put any numbers out.
Yeah.
We've had problems with our jealousy. It's one of our best strains. It's like 30%, another heady one that I usually pass on. But that's the one from Seed Junkie, and it just hasn't grown as thick as we wanted it. But, you know, now they've back-crossed it and stuff like that. The breeders realize that, so they're coming out with new ones and things like that. So it'd be the letdown would probably, like, growing a hype strain and getting, like, you know, a really small harvest out of it. But it's exotic, so, I mean, it is,
right.
it is
what it is. You're paying for exotic, essentially.
We've thrown a lot out, so that would be
a hard game. You really have thrown a lot out. Yeah. Every time you're like, oh, I'm like, oh, I haven't heard that one yet. So everyone does – Brian and I have been to a lot of gardens, and people do – unique things based on their garden. What's something that you guys take pride in and something special that you guys do to soothe your girls while you're in the garden with them?
Well, we have, let's see, around eight people live full-time at the farm.
Okay.
Yeah, we have...
You said live?
Yeah, live on
the farm.
Wow,
okay,
so housing
cool.
and everything. Wow. Yeah. So they're there 24-7, putting love into the plants. I mean, I'll call them at 9, 10 at night. And, you know, one of the main houses, four or five buildings are right behind it. So they're going to be cloning at night or into the plants. We have Ty. She's a great female grower on the farm. And she puts a lot of love into that, taking care of the clones and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And just checking on pruning and things, you know, making sure everything's moving.
Wow. That's amazing. Shout out to Ty.
Yeah, shout out to Ty.
The growers are everything. We would literally not have what we have
without them. Amazing.
Constant love and care, that's what it takes all the time.
And people willing to be able to pour that.
They're real creatures, they're living things, and you have to treat them like don't spoil them, you know. They're gonna be spoiled.
And the words you speak to them, all the things, it's super important, because that it goes to how they harvest, how they yield, how they smoke, you know, all the things.
No, absolutely. I wouldn't go in there with, sorry, add to that. I wouldn't go in there with a bad attitude or anything like that. They can feel those vibes.
Right. Drop your energy at the door. That's anything that you have going on outside of here.
Totally pick up on that.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
I feel like, do you think anybody doesn't think like that who grows cannabis? Or do you think like most people know that?
That's a good question. I would think if you've grown long enough and you've just been around your plants, especially like a home grower or something, you would notice, like, if you're in a bad mood or if you get in an argument with someone or whatever, you go in there, like, over time, or maybe if you're just a negative person, you're going in there, like,
you just maybe not know.
Why am I harvesting on
a spirit? Right. That's something to be mindful of for anybody out there.
Thoughts are powerful.
Needs an attitude check.
Like some bullshit, but it's not. It's like the real deal.
I know it really is. You are not the first person. We have every single grower that we have had on our podcast or we have met face to face.
Vibes.
That
somehow.
Is, and that's something that they say. They say that the energy that you give off to your plants is so important because they feel that almost instantly.
Yeah, there's a book called The Secret Life of Plants, and it explains how they can pick up this, the stigma of that.
Yeah.
The
so Robot Farmer was the first brand that I knew getting into this industry, and in my mind, it's always remained a very high-quality brand, which is amazing for you guys, in my opinion. What was the thought process that went behind the marketing and branding for Robot Farmer? Because it's very unique.
And like the name.
Yeah, and the name. Appreciate that.
Where to start with that? I went abroad. The real deal with that is I went abroad and I was looking for bamboo apparel, because I want to make a apparel company with like bamboo clothing. So I was like in Laos and Cambodia and Vietnam, and figured out that China is the only one that can make bamboo because they have the patent on it.
Does that surprise you?
So in my background in Asia, I was wanting to do something with robots and like robot teachers or something like that, with like focus to Japan and Korea. And then I came back, I moved to Seattle and realized like how flourishing the cannabis game was as far as the medical scene and everything before it went wreck. It was really like a golden time to be in Seattle. And I was witnessing all these things that like you normally couldn't see when it goes wreck, or most people weren't willing to share or something like that for like, you know, IP or whatever reasons. And I got with a friend of mine and we were talking about, man, how could I create like a brand that could be an ambassador for the whole industry and doesn't have to be like necessarily a grow. This is way before we, you know, meshed the two together. And someone that could be like less 420 pot leaf type stuff, which we do, you know.
Yeah, but like, right. I know what you mean. Like in your face.
Yeah, exactly.
Loud.
And like help destigmatize like cannabis at that time.
Yeah.
So we're like, what about this robot farmer? Like, how can we make a robot? Let's put it together, robot farmer. We'll call it PH. Like, we'll make this robot. And what I'll do is I'll copy scenes in the industry that I'm seeing, like with the bud tenders or with the trimmers or with growing or delivery services when they try to do that. And we'll just replicate that with a robot instead of like a cliche stoner. And
Interesting. Okay. So women.
I like that. Yeah. That.
Yeah.
So we took off with that. So I found a designer on the West Coast world in California. And shout out to John, but he works with like a subsidiary of Disney. So we can't really promote his name and everything.
Well, shout out to John. Yeah, you're killing it.
Yeah, you really are. This robot's dope as fuck.
I know.
So
that is so neat.
He's worked with me for like 6 years
now.
And I would sketch out like really bad drawings and like, man, this is what I want it to be. He didn't smoke, so I kind of had like draw pointers on the things. This is what he's doing. This is why he's doing that. Can you do this? And then he would just make it into like amazing pieces of artwork.
That's so cool. Yeah. And the fact that he doesn't consume cannabis, I feel like that just, as a creative, to be able to step out of that, because I feel like when you get into things that alter your mind a little bit, it to draw it without having your mind altered.
Yeah. If you haven't been there, felt that, sometimes you'd be like, well, how do you know, like,
how do you know what to do or the vibe of it? But he executed beautifully.
He was like a stage 3 cancer survivor, so he was going through like chemo when I first met him, and just he was a badass dude, man, a tough guy. So
shout out to
John. That's so cool. I love that there's so much like culture and like detail behind the name of Robot Farmer and where it came from. Yeah. It's not just like, oh, Robot Farmer, that sounds like a really cool name, even though it is. You have like a reason for both of the words.
For sure. And I wanted to make all the art pieces like subtle things. So if you look at them, like some of our older pieces that we did, like, you know, the first harvest is like a vintage series where like it's a period tractor from the 50s. Like everything in the piece looks like it's from the 50s, but even though it's a robot farmer and he's harvesting cannabis. Yeah. So there's like a storyline that I wanted to make that.
You can make a book.
Yeah. Or like a cartoon is kind of where we're getting towards.
Yeah. That would be cool. Yeah. Or even like a coffee table book. I was thinking about that this morning. That's it'd be dope if somebody released a coffee table book.
I like that.
Oh yeah. Like a classy, like one of those really dope,
a badass robot on the front of it.
Really, like the Louis Vuitton type ones that people pay like $60 for. I'd pay that much for maybe 50. Okay, 60 is kind of a lot. Maybe
take note, Josh. Okay, so I'm sure there's numerous to pick from, but is there like a certain situation or like patient story that stands out to you that's from your medicine that you guys have grown?
You know, yes. When we first opened our dispensary in Broken Bow, and you know, it's a different type of people down there, you know, and they're hardworking people, and they've had, you know, problems with pills and problems with meth in that town.
Yeah, I hear you.
And what really humbled me, I think it was when we first opened, there was like one of our first patients was like a 65-year-old like man, came in camo, like fresh off of hunting, you know.
Yeah.
He was coming to get some more cannabis. But I think like being in there and kind of, I would overhear some of the stories while I was just kind of like putting my ear, you know, pretending to do something or whatever, just listen to some of these patients, because I was so curious about these people in Broken Bow. And like having a dispensary, we fought really hard to get that dispensary, and there's a whole story behind that. But I think one of the ladies came in and she was talking about how she had gotten off some pills and something like that, and switched to some of our gummies, or was one of our carts or something. But just the fact that we could get kind of transition a little bit, you know, gave me some faith in that town.
Yeah, it's a movement.
Yeah, it was huge. It really, it was really, you know, that's reflected on that a lot.
That's really cool. And especially in, because I mean, there's plenty of small towns I know everywhere that have those issues. But when you're from, you know, your home state, you know, the certain pockets or small towns. Yeah. So that's where all that kind of stuff is always happening. But to be able to put a dispensary in there and to help and see people transition from like drugs, pills or alcohol, whatever it might be, to cannabis, and they have access because your dispensary is right there. Like, you're a part of that. Yeah, you're a part of their journey.
We were the first one. So it was really like unique to see that happen, you know,
that is really cool. It's special. I remember being a bartender and a manager and hearing those success stories like every day, and my cup would be filled daily. I was like a doctor and a nurse and a pharmacist without being any of those, and like just making recommendations just making recommendations based on like the research and knowledge and trial and error that I had done, and then for people to come back and be like, this healed me, or you did this for me, or I slept through the night, or I'm not so depressed. Like, it's crazy what that does for you as a person. I feel like it almost gave me like purpose as to like, this is why I'm in this industry. Exactly. And this is why I'm chasing this like industry so hard, because it makes me feel like I'm contributing to something, not that I'm just chasing a dollar. Yeah. I'm actually doing something for the community and for people.
No, you're exactly right. It's definitely a feeling. It makes you feel good inside to help someone. And you know that something's working that you're trying to like work for.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Robot Farmer is from Tulsa, but you guys have gradually made your way throughout the state, specifically OKC, which is amazing. I've heard and say this often that the cannabis cultural scene is so different between the two cities. What are your thoughts on that? Do you find Tulsa to be vastly different?
Yes.
Tell us how and why.
Agreed, 100%. It just seems like from when Jeff and I are doing the like sales visits or doing, you know, brand like pop-ups and stuff like that, OKC just had a stronger culture, a longer, you know, there's always more like cannabis events going on. There's been very few in Tulsa. Now there's cannabis friendly venues here that you can smoke at or patios or whatever, bars and take dabs or whatnot, but it just seems like OKC has a little bit more leader in the culture. There's a lot more stuff to do, you know, at night out there. And, you know, that could lead to it, or it could be one of the reasons. But, it just seems like there hasn't been that vibes yet in Tulsa.
Yeah, that's funny. I feel like I've heard a little bit, like, opposite in that. Mm-hmm. You're right in that, but that Oklahoma City's a little aggressive in our industry here.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And there's a lot more people here to compete against, you know. So, like, this really saturated in OKC. And there's a lot of good brands that are stationed in OKC. Yeah. You know, I'll go back to that one thing about Tulsa. You know, shout out to Sherweed Forest because they've been putting on these bizarre events that I kind of mentioned to you guys a few weeks ago, or ladies. Yeah. But, and they've been trying to do it, you know. And it's a real, like, good vibe, kind of a low-key Tulsa-style setting.
Right.
It's not going to be, like, crazy dabs and you're smoking blunts.
Yeah, I like that. I feel like it's for everyone. It's not just for people. Like, I feel like a lot of Oklahoma City events are great, but I feel like oftentimes it just turns into this really one big bro smoke sesh. And like, that's great. Yeah. But like, for every event to be like that, I'm like, God, this is so played out. Like, Brandon and I have been seeing the Sherweed stuff and we want to make it up there. But like, I remember the first one, we heard so much good feedback from it. And people were like, it was amazing. It was such a community event. Like, there was so much culture. You got to meet with so many different kinds of vendors, not just cannabis vendors, but like accessories and things like that. And I think that's what it's about. Like, it's about everyone and not just people who are doing the growing. And those are obviously the heart and soul. But like, all the other people, you wouldn't be anywhere without your lawyer or your banker or the people creating your merch. You know, all these different things. So...
No, it was a legit bazaar, you know, and you could smoke. I mean, most events I don't like to do unless I can smoke. Now, that's just a...
No, absolutely, 100%.
Transparent.
Yeah,
100%. I mean, and if you don't do that, everyone's talking about it, and that's the question.
Yeah, but you know, at the bazaar, you could just step outside and smoke.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not that big of a deal, but, like, it really was a nice vibe to not have to worry about, like, rolling up 10 blunts and sitting there at a table and smoking all night. Like, it was a lot of good conversation, good networking. It was, like, a really good low-key vibe. It was really nice.
I like that.
I do too.
You gotta check it out. So is there something that you like about the Tulsa market since you guys are there? That's where you're kind of based, you know?
There's no traffic. So that's
fine. There you go.
Coming from Seattle, you know, being there for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Tulsa market. Yeah, no, there's a lot of smart patients.
Okay.
They know what they want. They ask for certain terpenes. Sometimes they blow my mind away. Like our bud tenders, you know, with their response, I'm like, damn, okay, so they've been reading about this and covering this, and they're very knowledgeable. But yeah, I would say the deal with like smarter patients in OKC and asking for tests. I'm sorry, in Tulsa rather. And asking for testing and like, you know, really caring about what they're consuming.
Yeah.
I'd say that's one thing I've noticed a lot.
I will say I've heard that about Tulsa too. Oklahoma City, I feel like patients go a little bit more like deal chasing from like a lot of dispensary owners that I've talked to. Okay. And because I did sales just briefly as of recent, and I got to meet with a lot of dispensary owners, and that was their big thing was, hey, this is great, but so-and-so is offering me this for, obviously it's a bad time in the market right now too, but it's because patients just want to be in and out. They want the cheapest ounce. They want the cheapest whatever. And I feel like that's kind of where the translation gets lost in OKC versus Tulsa, where there, I feel like you guys do have a little bit more vegan restaurants and a little bit like cleaner eating options.
Yes.
And Tulsa is a little bit more mindful about what they put in their body and, you know, like being more educated on the cannabis side too. So that's something that I've heard pretty, pretty consistently as well. So we like to ask every girl this, but what are your thoughts on like how testing has been in our state and like what metric is going to, like, what are your thoughts on all that?
Sure. Testing, man, I mean, being in this for a couple of years now, it's been all over the place. We've used so many different labs, at least 5-6 different testing places until we found someone comfortable, you know, using someone consistently. You know, they're all over the place. I do feel like they're pulling out more terpenes these days, which is nice. I mean, I look at the positives of that. I feel like there's more terps coming out. Their percentages look a little higher on the terpenes. I don't worry about the, you know, THC percentages too much. We do in the dispensary. Obviously, people want higher THC stuff. But, like, when I care for, like, PhenoHunt and we send in something in, I'm like, looking at the percentages on the terps. Yeah, it's hard to say with the testing. You know, I feel like some are consistent. Some are hit or miss. Some are gone, you know, quickly. I don't know how I feel about that right
now. It's a weird topic, I feel like, because people feel very similar to you in that they don't want to say too much, but then they are also frustrated. And it's just like, all right, like, it's kind of a waiting game.
If this says 32%, like, I mean, am I getting that high? I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I'm just like, is it really that, you know?
Yeah.
It's okay to question it. And sometimes we'll drop something off at a second lab and retest that, you know, like crumble it up or make it a little bit different or whatever. And like, hey, let's double test that, you know?
Yeah.
As far as,
go ahead.
As far as metric goes, we geared up for that. We were advised to get ready for it. We spent, you know, $5,000-$6,000 in the tags and stuff like that. Cause we had, you know, about 4,000 plants going, maybe a little more at the time. And, it just disappeared. So, and they just got, you know, so.
Yeah, I haven't really heard much on metric as of recent. Have you?
No, I haven't. I mean, our lawyer advises that it's probably still going to come in at some point. But, you know, props to the Oklahomans because, like, they're one of the few states in the country that stood up to this thing, stood up to metric, and we're like, no, we're not going to take this. Like, we're not fucking with y'all. And no one else did that. Colorado uses metric. Washington uses metric.
That's Oregon a good point to make.
But don't you think it benefits them? Like, I don't know enough on the back end as a grower processor, but as a patient, wouldn't you think that that would benefit patients?
Yeah, there's two ways you could look at that. And honestly, from the business standpoint, like, you're going to want to have something tracked. I mean, obviously, they're going to want to come in and look at stuff, and you want to have something categorized and ready to pull, or, you know, just you've got a tracking history of it.
Right.
Yeah, from a business, you do kind of want that, but it's just like the fees are crazy. I mean, if you're going to charge me 40 to 60 cents per tag, but I can get them for 3 cents somewhere else. Like, I don't understand that. You know, why isn't, you know, OMA taking that fee, or why aren't they covering that? You know, why is that including a license fee or something like that?
I hear you.
But there's things they could work around it. I just think they kind of rushed it. But yeah, for the patients, they should have all the support they can as far as, like, you know, tracking their medicine for sure from seed to sale. I mean, that's a huge important thing. And it's really just on trust right now, you know, because there's not enough really people to check all of that.
That's good perspective. That's really good perspective. And
love perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And it gives to both sides of what metric really looks like.
Definitely.
As a grower and like all the, I mean, the fees and stuff you have to pay, they add up. Everything in this industry, they like to take all the pennies. And so your pennies do count in this industry.
If you're a mom and pop grower, if you're a craft cannabis grower, if you're running, you know, 15, 20 lights, 12 lights, and you're, you know, you've got a little brand or something, and you're still, that's a lot. It's a burden. It's an extra fee on you, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So what's something the people can expect from Robot Farmer in 2022?
2022, I hope, is a big year. We've been working on some vinyl toys.
Oh,
and, I really want to knock that out the park and make it right. So we've been like working with a couple different manufacturers and like testing out some samples and stuff. And, trying to do some of our crazier like loud artwork and make it like an 8-9 inch vinyl toy doll with box packaging.
That's dope.
Okay, that's very dope. It's very creative.
Yes. So I wanted to kind of cross over and like get into that design aspect of like we have so much artwork that I just haven't released. I've kind of been sitting on and waiting for to do something special.
That's exciting though. So, you got a lot of stuff in the vault to work with.
It's cool to hear like I feel like you, like Papa Jesus, it's like this culture that you guys are building around your brands. And I feel like people aren't doing that enough here. And it's so cool when brands actually take like
it stands out.
Yeah. Like the fact that you're doing that, I'm like, that is so random, but you're building a culture and a hype around it. That way, like you release one and you release an X amount and then you don't release them again. And then you release the next one, like 6 months, a year, whatever. It's like
so many opportunities.
It's cool. Yeah. That you're creating art and culture around cannabis, that it's not just we just smoke weed, but we're creating more than that.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Oh, for sure. I appreciate that. We want to make it like an appealing brand internationally. So like if we could change the colors and maybe change a flag thing or regalia on the robot, then like it can fit in Germany with it just legalizing or Holland or Spain.
Like that is so cool. Like this is like a worldwide thing you can do.
Oh, I can't wait to see what you guys do with that.
Yeah, shout out to Papa Jesus. I don't know him personally, but I listened to y'all's podcast with him. And dude's very knowledgeable and you know been in the game for a minute.
Clint's a good guy.
He's a great guy. Shout out to Clint if you're listening.
Yeah, and he also does similar badass artwork on his own, so respect that.
Sure. Yeah, for so sure. It's really cool.
Yeah. Well, guys, I think this wraps up today's episode. Is there anything you'd like to add, Josh, before we hop off today?
No, if you want to check us out, you know, we're on Instagram, Robot Farmer. We're trying to shy away a little bit. It's like shadow banned, you know?
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
Yeah.
I can't post any fun things. So we have a Discord, Robot Farmer, robotfarmer.com. And if you want to look at our products, it's on Leafly. You can check us out.
Yeah, be sure to go give them a follow, guys. And stay tuned for next week's episode. And as always, Sob,
stay medicated.